T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Thanks a lot, Greg. It's good to be here today, and I hope that we can answer as many questions, at least the essential ones that you may have. It's a big day for the diocese and also for all of the people of Western New York, because we understand that the decisions that we make going forward impact on the lives of so many, most particularly our survivors, but also everybody that works and understands the mission of the church to really be the presence of God's love in our community in every way possible. Obviously, the big question that we have right here is that in order for there to be love and all of that, there has to be justice. There has to be a sense that we're doing things right and that we're doing things fairly and that we're doing them in a transparent manner. And I know there's been a lot of pain created by what are perceived, and I think rightly so in many cases, of being ways of doing things that we can't continue to do in the future. So I see this day as an opportunity for us, I won't use the word reset, but I will say for us to really focus on what our mission is so that we can purify it and do it better, and to do it in a way that is collaborative and that is open and that is transparent. Of course, the proceeding, the Chapter 11 proceeding, I'm careful not to use the word bankruptcy, even though we are in a bankruptcy court, because a lot of people are the impression maybe that the diocese is running out of money, we can't meet our obligations to our employees, which is not true. But we want to do it in a way that is fair and open. So the hearing this morning went very, very well. I was very pleased with it. We realize we're just at the first stage of a long process. And I know there's a lot of questions that, for example, does this affect parishes and Catholic charities and other, and it does not. This is basically a diocesan action. And it's, as I say, it's Chapter 11 reorganization. And it's a way in which we're going to try to meet the needs and rightful demands even of our creditors. Now, I know that there are many who see this as something, because it does, as you know, cease the legislation and the discovery process of the CBA. But as you're probably well aware, that a lot of times when we go through the legal process, it's those that come forward first that get the biggest amount in the settlements. We want to do this in a way that is fair so that all of those who are entitled to some form of restorative justice or restitution, if we want to use that word, will be able to get a fair share of that. And I'm confident that through this process, as it unfolds, I'm very, very aware that words are easy to say and it's actions that count. So my hope is that going forward, regardless of the mistakes we have made, regardless of the suspicions that may rightfully have been raised about the way things were done, that going forward we're going to see a lot of action that will result in very fair resolutions as much as we can. I said this right from the start, though, and this is something that is, to me, is essential to the mission of the diocese. I do not see victim survivors of sexual abuse as people who we give settlements to. And one of the things that always galls me is when I hear the word package. You know, here's your financial settlement, be happy, go away. I do not want survivors to go away. I want to walk with them. I want to be with them. And I want them to know that they are an essential part, if they wish to be. You know, anger is obviously a big part of the process of healing. And, you know, I've used the analogy of family many times, and it's because I really mean it. Isn't that a stunt? Isn't that something I just say because it sounds good? I really consider every single person, including our priests who may have abused people as part of our family that I'm responsible to take care of in some way, even though I realize that they have to be disciplined and in some cases isolated. I also believe that every person, particularly those who suffer in silence, should not be afraid to come forward. And fortunately, the CVA is one way in which that was able to happen, that some people could come forward that for many years did not. But I also think that in the interest of trying to be able to reach out to everyone, that the process that we're undergoing right now through Chapter 11 will actually open up the doors to many more. That having been said, this is not a criminal process, you know, the CVA. And the diocese itself does have a process by which anybody coming forward, even if the criminal statute of limitation is in effect, can still come forward and present a case to the diocese. And we will look into every case. There's a canonical process as well, too. But more of that, you know, later. I don't want to get into the details. The point is that today I'm very, very happy that we've taken this step, and I really look forward, going forward, to be able to open up the doors, to open up the opportunities to better purify our mission going forward, and to ensure that all of those who need to be assured that we're walking with them in faith, and will be able to receive that justice, that restorative justice that they seek. So I'd be very happy. This is, you know, there's a lot of questions you may have to answer any questions that you may pose to me or to my my advisors.
I'm sorry, did you just say that the abusive priests are part of the family, as you call it?
That's correct.
I believe. Why would a survivor want to be a part of a family where the father figure of the family invites child molesters to be part of the family?
All right, well, first of all, Charlie, I assume you're referring to what happened last Monday, because I'm not inviting child molesters to insult or to, and what happened in that gathering, I'm very sorry about, because I have no way of controlling the individual behavior of an abusive priest. But the purpose of last Monday's meeting was in order to be able to inform all of the clergy, including the charter priests. Now, not all of those, I use the term charter priests, not all of those charter priests, I don't know that there's anybody there that's been convicted criminally. You know, I don't know that, and to the best of my knowledge, not. There are some priests that were there that are on administrative leave because their cases are still in process. There were some, I think there were about five or six in total, whom credible accusations have been filed, you know. So I did not exclude them from that gathering, but I did not intend it as a public gathering in which I wanted in any way any victims to be offended. There also happened to be a priest there who was himself a survivor of sexual abuse. I think there may have been more than one even. And of course, going forward, we're going to have to be sure that incidents like that don't happen again. But the purpose was to gather the priests together, all of them, even the bad ones or the ones that are under suspicion, and to be able to give them information that everybody really needs going forward, because we knew that we were going to make this filing on Friday. So I wanted to be sure everybody had that information. And it was also an occasion, and this is something that bishops do. Bishops have a special relationship with all of their clergy. We call it the presbyterate. And that includes everyone. You know, if you isolate somebody or make them a pariah, and people that work in social services know this, you may actually be more in danger of inducing somebody like that to act out. So I want to keep strong supervision of all of the priests, particularly those that have had challenges, not just in the areas of sexual abuse, but other areas, drugs, alcohol, and so forth. So I don't exclude them. But this was a gathering of priests, and it was very, very carefully planned as a private gathering, that this was not intended to be publicized. Not because I'm not interested in transparency, but precisely because I did not want to trigger the victims who might see something like this and be hurt by it, as unfortunately some were, which I deeply regret. It's something that we do together. We celebrate Mass. You know, I think the idea that the Mass is a reward for virtuous behavior, you know, this is a church of sinners. As far as that man on the cross, there's not a person that I know that he didn't die for, including the way I go into prisons and celebrate Mass with people who are rapists and murderers. You know, Jesus was crucified between two criminals. So, you know, it's the fact that we come together and pray, and the entire theme of the Mass was to pray for us in our sinfulness. You know, one of the things I referenced was, and I hope, you know, I don't want to take up too much time on this issue because I want to focus on what we did today, and this will be the last I'll say of it for now. But, you know, when Pope Francis first became Pope, one of the things I asked him is, how do you define yourself, you know, as a human being, as Jorge Bergoglio? And when he said, you know, the one thing I know I can definitely say about myself is that I am a sinner. You know, I felt so good when he said that because I can identify with that. So see it as an opportunity for sinners to come together and to pray for those we may have hurt and to pray for one another. Now, I don't want to delay on this because what we did today, I think, has to really be the focus here. And because this is a path forward to healing and to restorative justice and to purification. And I'll entertain any other questions as well, too. Yes.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.